Hello and welcome to the Ascension Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole and we are back and we are excited to be here. You're going to meet our great team right now. First off, we have Ascension Medium, Jennifer Schaefer. She's a spiritual intuitive medium, law enforcement profiler. And this week, she went up with her son into the skies. Mother went up and let her son pilot. And I just think that we have to underscore that she's brave as well to do that. Hello.
Hello. That is my second son though. That is Ethan Eddins. He's my adopted son, but yes.
How fun. Next we have Dr. Andrea Best, an integrative adult and child psychiatrist, a wellness retreat guru and a nutritionist, as well as a mother as well. And finally, our Dr. Denise McDermott, integrative adult and child psychiatrist, mother, paradigm, progression, pioneer. I got that right for you, Dr. D. And she's also a motivational speaker on the international level and a nonstop ball of energy. I think I have that right.
Whoop, whoop. And Kathleen, thank you for leading the way with all of your news years and just everything that who you are. Thanks. Keeping us on track.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do today. So let's get started. Denise, take it away.
Well, so first of all, Beverly Bergman left us with an assignment because last week we talked about integrity and she assigned us to each take the letters of integrity and each day write something. So I'm just going to share my I for integrity that I really connected with was infinite possibilities. And so when I was really tuning in to what that assignment meant, it meant to stay aware and that we have limited possibilities. And then I think, who wants to go next?
The letter N. So I was really excited. When I first saw that we were doing this homework exercise, I sort of geeked out about what happens in the hemispheres and love when Beverly talked about that and setting aside the ego. So it was interesting that when I did the exercise, that's exactly what happened. I just sort of went into another place and was in the now. So in for now, active, present, aware, consciously aware right now, not running an old program that might have me feeling fearful or powerless. So that'll come up again later in the show. So I'm really excited about today.
And I love that what you just said about the hemispheres, because the specific assignment that Beverly had us do was we were all, viewers, supposed to write down integrity and write it with our non-dominant hand. And then we could have like intuitive awareness as to what dropped in. And so that's what you were alluding to. So Jen, how about you? How did the assignment go for you?
It was actually amazing. And I'll take the letter T, even though it's not next. It had to do with time and how time does not exist with infinite possibilities when discussing, you know, integrity. So when you have integrity and you are purposeful in your actions, time doesn't exist in other realms. And so it allows you to receive everything that you're working for in all the dimensions, kind of coinciding with what the both of you both said, actually. It was amazing. I love Beverly's prose. It's almost like a prayer book for us, you know?
And I think it's so amazing to remember that we can connect with our ancestors. Absolutely. And our own higher self. And I think we're connecting. Go ahead.
Well, the next one in integrity is E, and I brought my chicken scratch. The left hand is hard to write with. And you just said our ancestors, and my E is for echoing. Echoing the examples given by my forefathers.
I love that.
Because our ancestors have given us a lot of positive examples of integrity, and let's keep pushing it forward, right?
Absolutely.
I love that. So hopefully everyone's excited to sort of stay grounded and tune in. And that's one of our passions about this show, introducing ideas and also just encouraging everyone to make it their own.
Absolutely.
So we've got a great show today, and I wanted to tell everyone watching, there are some things that you're not going to want to miss from our show today. Number one, you're going to learn the science behind why giving feels so good. We're going to talk a lot about our universal truth, and you're going to find out why it feels so good to give. We're also going to take a look at why, if you can, you need to give the nation the gift of your vote. So kind of more altruism. And finally, we're going to hear from our doctors and our Jennifer Schaefer about the new normal, which is going to be so exciting. So don't go away.
Yay. And then I think right now we're actually ready to go.
Yeah.
And talk about our universal truth. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Woo. Okay. So with humility, I think mental wellness, physical wellness has to do with what I call the universal truths of awareness, self-love, and altruism. And so all of us here are really passionate about the universal truth of altruism. And when I went to India to speak at the Dalai Lama's Body, Mind, Life Conference, I was representing the United States and the West, and I thought it was really interesting. I like to look at science. I like to look at spiritual gurus. And when people think of the United States, especially now with what's going on, oftentimes they think me, 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 survival of the fittest. And so it was really interesting when I look at the concept of altruism in Darwin. Darwin's sort of known, I mean, would you guys agree that the survival of the fittest is kind of what his claim to fame is?
Yes.
Right? So when you go deeper on an intellectual and academic and an integrative pioneer and spiritual level, you see that Darwin really wanted his book, The Descent of Man, that to be championed, that the concept of altruism and cooperation were incredibly important for the survival of species. And so for what we're living at this modern day time where we have strife, divide, hatred. I love that we're going to talk about altruism today. And I want to thank Darwin because the spirit of what he wanted to say is when individuals thrive, we all thrive. And I know I'm really excited to then go and hand this to Jen for a bit because Jen has a unique experience with one of the relatives of Darwin and kind of keep pass the torch, tag your it on altruism.
First of all, I love what altruism has done for our communities. Like, for instance, with what you just discussed with Darwin, I was very fortunate to actually read someone that was a distant relative of his, a direct descendant of his, and it was fascinating to me to actually. He showed up, you never know if someone's going to show up, but he showed up and gave details that only the family knew. But what's even more fascinating is the way that he described how all of us, not only do our ancestors, we carry their lineage with us, literally and physically. He described that his book, The Origins of Species, was really supposed to be the origins of spirit. And so just like you said, Denise, when we talk about altruism, we talk about working together for the greater good. We talk about how we're gonna give back, what our purpose is. And altruism, how it forms from what I've researched is truly based upon empathy. A lot of it's based upon empathy. When I see people suffer, you want to help them. Like, with Lama Tenzin, those girls mean so much to you. They mean so much to us. Like everybody has their own empathy card that they want to help. Like I'm sure that's how many animal rights activists get started, is because they see animals getting abused. I see parents without their children. I donate all my time, so does my academy, to helping find missing children. With unresolved deaths. And that's where my altruism has come into play. But all of us have such deeply rooted, feelings and emotions concerned with being part of a community. And when you are part of a community, it just makes it stronger. Like I'm so much stronger with you four. Do you know what I'm saying? Than by myself.
Absolutely. It's a collective, we form collective energy spaces. Mm-hmm. And there's a resonance that when you're happy or you're giving, it's an infinite, it's a spiral, it's truly an ascension. And I also know that we've got sass, but we also have universe geekdom. We're also universe geeks. So with that being said, I'd like to talk to Dr. Andrea Best about some of the science around altruism.
I'll talk about that, but I wanted to just quickly say, you know, I'm really thankful to my ancestors as well, because despite horrid things that have happened over hundreds of years, we've moved in love and giving. And even as a kid, I heard over and over, to whom much is given, much is required. And that means that at every level, I mean, we've been blessed, we're so fortunate. And today we're talking about corporate responsibility and corporate altruism. But I've been raised to know that at every level, no matter what you have, the smallest amount that you have, you can be a giver. And the blessings that come from that, and moving in that, and not in hate, and not in evil, and not in a space of revenge or ugliness, but to move in just a higher frequency. And that's what my ancestors have done. So I'm blessed. I'm in this space because of it. I'm able to stay in a place of kindness and wanting love for all people because of it. And I come from generations of scientists as well. So you know, in terms of the science of giving, I mean, we know now, I mean, there's no doubt, there's so many research articles from around the world that show, you know, functional MRIs as well as other types of studies, how the brain lights up when we give. Okay, so we get that, what they call that warm glow. So functional MRI will light up areas, you know, the prefrontal cortex, the midbrain, the ventral tegmental area, which is our reward pathway center. So that those are the areas that light up when you think about, like for me, cupcakes. Okay, or when you think about, or it lights up when, you know, it lights up with sex and orgasms. It lights up when you think about a romantic partner. It lights up when you see babies, you know? So these are the areas that light up with substances, coffee, and, you know, all of the other things that people will do. However, there are multiple benefits. So they're the, you know, within 2 hours of giving, right? You can feel that warm glow. So those areas that light up release those feel good chemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, but even serotonin. And we know the adrenals are involved as well. And there's a decrease in cortisol, stress hormones circulating through your body. So there's research showing that you have these benefits within hours, but they're long-term benefits as well in terms of benefits in your blood pressure. Okay.
Yeah. So ready? Altruism is mind medicine, everyone.
Yes.
Right? And we're so excited because, thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Jen. We are ready to introduce our guest. I'm so excited if we can have her come on the screen. Dr. Denise Berger.
Yay. Hello.
Thank you so much. I just want to introduce you. So everyone, Dr. Denise Berger, believe it or not, she is a 9/11 survivor, a COVID survivor. She's worked in corporate America at Aon. She's always been passionate about women, gender, cultural diversity, and then she went on to get a PhD, and she has a doctorate and a dissertation on corporate social responsibility, and there's so much more to say, but Denise, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you all for having me. I'm excited to talk with you all.
So one more introduction I want to say is that I also know Dr. Berger. She's in the community. And right before I went to India, we're going to talk about this later in the show, but we're actually going to save that and just use that as a little tease. She has an amazing business, an entrepreneur business that actually embodies altruism and consciousness that we're going to talk about later. So I'm really excited because I have a special relationship with you with regarding to that. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
So do you want to jump in and talk a little bit about who you are and corporate social responsibility and leadership and how that relates to altruism?
Sure. Yeah. So I always like to say that character is to an individual the way culture is to an organization. And so just as much as we need to be altruistic individually and develop those characteristics like you were talking about before, integrity, for example, we also need to build that into the organizations. Because the organizations, especially global organizations, have a massive footprint, right? So they have resources spread across the world. They have connections spread across the world. They have people and talent spread across the world. So they have an amazing influence to either do the right thing or not do the right thing. My background started in corporate America, like Dr. Denise said. So I was working with Fortune 500 organizations and also helping with the diversity and inclusion strategy, in particular women and developing women in the workforce at the time. As Dr. Denise said, I went and got my doctorate in organizational leadership. In between there, I have an MBA in marketing and international business. So my brain has always been focused on business aspects. But I'll tell you, the CSR, Corporate Social Responsibility dissertation, was an amazing experience. I learned so much. And it started, my interest in it started when I went to India, actually, Dr. Denise. And we met with a lot of corporate social responsibility professionals there. And at the time I was thinking I would do my dissertation on succession planning and talent development. But this woman said to me, you know, CSR is like teenage sex. Everyone's doing it, but only half are doing it. And of the half, only half are doing it the right way.
So everyone says they're doing it, but only half are actually doing it. And of those.
Wow. You know what's funny, ladies? We didn't have sex written into the show, but boy, we need to have a show on sex where it's all on our mind today. So ready? Noted. We're going to have to do something on sex. So keep going. So,
yeah. So that's what launched me to my dissertation, because I thought, that is it. I want to know what it means to do it the right way. What does CSR look like doing it the right way? What does corporate altruism look like doing it the right way? What I found out was that there is not a set marker where you will get to arrive at CSR. It is a continuous journey. And, you know, if you think back to my first quote of character is to an individual as culture is to an organization, isn't our own individual development a continuous journey as well?
Yeah, and that actually goes with the phrase I like to say with when individuals thrive, we all thrive. So we're very in sync. And I think it'd be really fun to open up the discussion, because you're teaching this at Pepperdine. And aren't you, where else are you teaching this course and these ideas?
Vanderbilt
and Pepperdine. And I've been really fortunate, everyone. I think, I don't know if it's 5 or 6 years now, I've been fortunate to be a part of that class once a year to meet all these amazing students. So what I love about Dr. Denise Berger is she embodies, one thing that we're doing on the show is we don't want to just talk about doing things. We want to show the inaction component. So altruism in action. So Dr. Berger has the corporate experience that then motivated her and inspired to ascend in her knowledge. And then to me, when you reach that level where you want to educate and pass wisdom down to our youth. So Dr. Berger embodies that. And what would be really fun to talk about is maybe the microcosm of corporate social responsibility, which is transparency, leadership, strategy. Maybe Dr. Berger can give us an idea of what she talks about with her students. And then Jen, Andrea, and Kathleen can jump in, because a lot of the concerns we have in the United States, we love capitalism, but I always say we need to have capitalism with altruism. because there's nothing wrong with being entrepreneurs, but you can be spiritual and you can be fiscal entrepreneurs and spiritual entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe that Dr. Berger's heart and soul is and all of us. So that's why we're like, woo, woo, to have you.
Yeah, for sure. In the class, we dive in deep to purpose. That the most altruistic organizations and the ones that are more sophisticated with their corporate social responsibility have a purpose component to what they do. And in fact, last year, the Business Roundtable came out with an official statement revising the essence of a business. So historically, it was based on Friedman economics, that business is in the business of making profits, and that's it. And they just came out last year adding the component of purpose, that business is not just about profit, it has to be about purpose too. And I think that leans into the principle of, you know, kind of what you were saying, Dr. Denise, you know, business cannot prosper without a thriving community, and a thriving community cannot thrive without business as the economic engine. So we are inextricably linked.
I think Jen wanted to say something too.
I love that you changed the course to collaborative intelligence, and what you did to change it into what you were saying just now. That was fascinating to me. And the way that you used, you know, like you used different modalities to help with the infrastructure of that, like a safe room, or you had different comedians come in, I believe, that's fascinating to me, how you gave them different samples of everything.
My class on leadership is not your traditional study each theory every week and then move on to the next theory or attribute. In fact, we only spend really 1 week giving that foundational understanding of the historically scholarly academic view of leadership. And then the rest of the class is really about, you know, practicing these other attributes that we know make for good leadership. And that's the other thing we explore too, by the way, is we throw around these words like, oh, that person's a good leader, or that person's not a good leader, or this is an example of good leadership or not good leadership. We have to be more clear about what we mean by good, right? Because I don't know if we necessarily all appreciate the ins and outs of what is required to truly be a good leader. You know, that an altruism is one aspect of it, and integrity is another aspect of it, and understanding your purpose. So a lot of people like to call my class group therapy, because I make them go deep into their soul about what is their purpose, what is driving them to follow, you know, their heart or their mission, and to really connect to that. Because if they can't connect to that, then none of us can connect to that, right? And it's really important from a collaborative standpoint that we're all connected to a common purpose.
I want to say that Dr. Best and I, we're going to do an episode on another show regarding corporate social responsibility, especially with everything that's happened in the world with regard to racism and divide, and looking not only at the altruism, but the social responsibility of inclusion of companies. So Andrea had done some incredible research right after the murder of Ahmaud Arbery and of George Floyd. And I think a lot of society had looked at different organizations that are inclusive, not only with race, but also gender, sexuality. And you had done some really interesting research on that.
Oh, great.
But Dr. Berg, I want to ask a question. I mean, I could geek out about the research for a moment, but you know, that word now is still, you know, in my space. Like, right now is the time for the action, right? Now is the time for corporations to make policy changes. Now is the time for corporations to require at every level, every employee to have a heart of giving. But what have you found to be the most effective way to have hardened hearts and corporate mindsets change? So we've had enough of task forces. We have so many classes. I mean, I've read about the things you're doing, amazing. So I wonder, like, in terms of what is the most effective thing, not if we don't want to have a lot, like 1,000 more committees or task forces that then where we say, okay, change will come 20 years from now. We need it now.
Yeah.
There are things that need to happen now. What have you found to be the most effective?
So it's interesting that you say that change needs to happen now. And I think I would argue that it needed to happen yesterday. Right. And so that's the point about like doing it the right way, is that we've had a lot of companies in the past doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But that is at a more basic level of CSR, you know, the philanthropy, the giving. But what they're not focused on, and I believe it, the call to action today to focus on, is impact. What is the impact that you want to see and make in the world? And too often organizations are really focused on the metrics, right? And I'm not going to disparage the metrics, but the metrics often focus on outputs, and those are short-lived little markers of movement, but they're not representative of change. So companies need to take a rule from the rule book of social impact and incorporate that into their thinking. Now, what that requires is a more qualitative view of the issue, a more social science view of the issue, a more psychology-based view of the issue, and companies haven't been all that trained to think that way. So,
right. So many of them will do what we consider, you know, lip service, you know, or they'll post something, you know, they'll post a Black Lives Matter something, or they'll kneel, you know, with two or three people in front of their building. So I don't want to say that's not authentic. However, what African Americans and others are doing in terms of boycotting, not financially supporting certain businesses, like, you know, when things happened some months ago, I remember checking my phone, trying to find out which grocery stores supported Black Lives Matter. I went to 5 different grocery stores in LA. I would sit in the parking lot and then check it, and nothing. And instead, I would read All Lives Matter or something else. So then I would drive to another grocery store, then another grocery store. So this is the mindset of, okay, well, how do we require companies to change? Maybe if we don't support them financially, but yet I don't know that that is the most effective thing right now. Mm-hmm. But I know that Dr. Denise and I will talk about this more. The research that I've done, some of the amazing work that you've done, and how that translates into working directly with even some of our corporate clients. So, thank you.
And I know that Dr. Denise and Kathleen both have something on their minds. So just as a quick response, and then to go to them, you know, Andrea, you probably know this better than anyone, but equity, diversity, and inclusion has to be at the forefront of all these conversations. It has to be. And that is the means to have these companies do better in the world as a collective. We can't do collective work if we don't have the collective represented around the table, right?
So Dr. Best kind of read my mind, because my question was going to flip it around and say, as a consumer, a lot of us want to support businesses that have these altruistic things going on, right? But like, what's the, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but if we want to do it now, like how now do we know who's doing lip service and who's doing song and dance and who's really doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to really get to know the organization, because like Andrea said, it, you know, having them go out with a statement, is just putting you on the go, you know, of the, around the game table, right? It's like, it's, you're just on go. That's it. That's all you are. And you've got to move forward. And so you can look at so many different markers. I would argue that even the reports on sustainability and corporate social responsibility are a little bit of window dressing too. And so, you know, the culture of the organization is what really needs to be investigated deeply. What gets rewarded in the organization and what doesn't get rewarded? And so those are questions you can ask employees. You know, to track for consistency. The other thing too is, are they looking at CSR at a multi-level vantage point? In other words, are they really incorporating it into strategy? Are they leading organizational development with corporate social responsibility, or is it in some back office, you know, with one person kind of checking the box? Like I said at the beginning, corporate social responsibility is a continuous journey. And so some organizations are only going to be able and capable of maybe doing philanthropy, right? Which is like the more basic level of CSR, while others can really do the task of changing society and being part of that change. So for example, I recall in my dissertation, Starbucks had a World Cup meeting where they invited even their competitors to the table to discuss issues of how can we create a more sustainable community through recycling. You know, if their products are recyclable and they went through the process of making sure their soiled cups were recyclable, but that community doesn't have recycling, that's a problem. Then they're not sustainable, right? So they will work with the communities and to develop the recycling programs. And so there's everything in between. There's a spectrum. But what I think is important here is that companies need to be honest about where they're at in their life cycle. And we're not seeing that today. We're seeing a lot of companies overpromise and underdeliver, and we're seeing them say what they aren't. And so let's start with honesty. Let's start with, you know what, we're not here at this stage right now, but we're at this stage right now, and we want to get to this stage. And I work with a lot of organizations to get them to the next stage.
I love that. Individuals and corporations, where am I? How am I being right here in this moment? Right. Yeah. How, and now that I acknowledge that, how do I restore integrity? How do I move forward?
Yeah.
That's what we've been talking about. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and show and now.
I'd like to broaden this out. We're talking about corporations, but let's talk about the family system. So we know that words, thoughts, and actions are energy and power. So if you're a mom or a dad raising your child, you can look at your household as its own energy space or corporation. The word company, even with Ascension Media, we stand for a collective energy space of doing better. Mm-hmm. And then we have to look at the linear world and the nonlinear world. We have to look at what's realistic fiscally in corporations, what's realistic in a family system, whether you're a single parent or you're a two-parent household. So it all starts with values. And so the value system of the family, the value system of the organization, and also having the adaptive awareness that we can all do better. So I think that one of the things that happens is, like, we're talking lip service. People know the right buzzword. Sometimes it becomes like a marketing ploy, but then you have to go deeper and go, wait, is my corporation actually doing those values, or is the family doing those values? And so we can broaden this discussion out And I really am excited because later on in the show, we're going to talk about something Dr. Berger's been doing that's an embodiment of altruism. So we're kind of saving that for later. Does anyone else want to say anything before we go to the news headlines?
Just something quickly. So when we acknowledge how we're being, whether it's the individual or the family or the corporation, when we acknowledge that, we are able to get to a place of health. So yeah. We're physicians, you know, we're doctors, we're moms, we're healers, we're all these things. We know that the individual can be sick due to resistance. So the resistance to acknowledging how I've been as an individual or as a corporation or as an employee or what have you, that resistance is what often makes me sick. It is often what makes the system or the family or the company sick. So we are about being well and thriving, and that acknowledgement, the willingness to see where you didn't quite do it right and say, okay, that's okay. Nobody's doing it perfectly.
I love that, because we talk about adaptive perfectionism and restrictive, and also the ability to say, I'm sorry. And sometimes at different times in history, and this was going to relate to the vote or the headlines, people weren't aware. So when I talk about the universal truths, I talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. So what Andrea is talking about is accountability and awareness. The leaders I respect the most are the ones that say, I'm sorry. I wasn't even aware that that happened. And then you can then look at it with humility and do better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people need to do. How can we do better? And Dr. Berger, like, thank you so much, because I'm so excited because you were in corporate America. Oh my gosh, you like survived 9/11. Then you went on to like get more education. And then you have this company we're going to talk about later, but you've been instilling these value systems to our youth. And I'm actually getting choked up because I think teachers don't get enough, like you were in this corporate position making X amount of money. And you, to me, that you're an example of passing down wisdom. Shout out to all you teachers out there, especially doing the e-learning and distance learning, and people like Dr. Berger who are in colleges trying to teach students right now. It's not easy. And to me, I wish society championed education as a value system, and that our teachers got more money, because our kids, and this is what the future is all about, it's the integrity of the unseen energy. And so I thank you for being here on the show today. And I thank everyone out there that's a champion of altruism and integrity.
Yeah, and for sure, it's really about systems, kind of thinking through the system, right? Like what do we if we want a better society, what does that take, right? And it's not just linear, and it's not just single faceted, it's multifaceted. It's about, you know, addressing the need today, but also looking at, you know, what's going to change it in the future, and going back to the root. And some of that rootness is based in our kids and their potential and their future.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all. I could talk about this for hours.
I also have to say something. Dr. Berger is part of the Ascension team. She's our conscious capitalism guru. So we're going to have her on for more shows, and she's going to help our organization strategize as a founder. I was waiting for the strategic moment to bring Dr. Berger in. So we're excited to have you here today on the show and all the other collaborations we're going to be having together.
I also want to say one thing as well. There's more about you on the Dr. Denise podcast that is fascinating. So if you want some more, go to Dr. Neese's podcast again and listen to it. It was wonderful listening to you guys. Both of you have done so much. Thank you for coming in to the show.
Thank you.
Where else can we find you?
What's that?
And where else can we find you, Dr. Berger?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can find me. My corporate social responsibility material is at www.itcsr, which represents the highest, most sophisticated levels of CSR. it's csr.com. And then my other business, which Dr. Denise will talk about in a bit, which I founded, is Aliki Designs. So that's at alikidesigns.com. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Aliki Designs. And then my Twitter handle is Winning View, which I carried over from when I was working in the Women's International Network. And I named it Winning View, and I still have it today.
Woohoo! And you can find her on ascensionmedia.love.
Yes.
As part of the Ascension team, and click on everything. We have you represented.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Dr. Denise.
All right. So I'm going to do the headlines now, ladies. And so these aren't normal headlines. These headlines all are infused deeply with today's universal truth, which is altruism. So I have to tell you, I really loved putting these together, and I think you're going to love them too. So this week we learned the co-founder of Nike donated 7.2 million shares of Nike Class B stock to charity. So what does that mean? $900 million this week. Did you guys hear about this?
Go Nike.
I bet you didn't hear about this.
No.
You didn't, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Chairman Emeritus Phil Knight donated to his Knight Foundation. And that foundation has already given back $2 billion to scientific research, athletics, and specifically cancer research at three universities.
Yes. I love that.
Awesome. We've seen this before, but it's just, I mean, that happened just this week and I hadn't heard about it till I went digging. My second story is about the foundation started in honor of the late rapper Gerard Juice WRLD Higgins. And that foundation just donated a complete set of band and orchestra instruments to his former school in Chicago Heights, Illinois.
Denise. Is this Juice WRLD?
Juice WRLD.
My son loves Juice WRLD.
I love his music.
My son, we love Juice WRLD. Actually, shout out, I just want to say rest in peace.
Yes.
And love. And the energy of what he stands for.
His mother started the foundation after he passed of, he was 21 when he died of oxycodone and codeine toxicity. His record labels, also Grade A and Interscope, Geffen A&M, assisted with the donation according to Variety. Oh, and his school is abuzz about it. His eighth grade teacher says that Juice WRLD's spirit can still be felt in the heartbeat of the walls and floors of the school building itself.
I can feel him right now.
I got the chills too.
Juice, we love you. Thank you. Spirit lives on.
So our final story that's infused with altruism is, what happens when COVID derails your charity plans? Well, you borrow your daughter's bike. That's what Wesley Hamnett did. He pedaled from Glasgow, Scotland to Manchester, England on a pink number with 12-inch wheels. So you got to visualize this. He originally planned a 1,200-mile cycle from Russia, but he had to come up with something else because he couldn't do that because of COVID. So he supports cancer support and the British Heart Foundation. The number of his efforts, he had 8 busted tires on a 6-hour-long stretch. And he went up to a peak as high as 1,300 feet on his daughter's little 12-inch pink bike. He says, the bike really wasn't built for this. And I think that's an understatement. And that's a dad honoring his commitment to charity. Really cool.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Love that. I love that determination.
Right.
You know?
We have obstacles. Sometimes it's hard to give for all sorts of different reasons, right? And people find a way to keep doing it. It's inspiring.
And I think we want to be, strategic because that leads right in. What you just talked about leads into our passion for delivering stories that are inspiring and lead you with hope. And I think then Dr. Bess was going to talk about the importance of mindful ingestion of the headlines. And we just got to hear hopeful headlines.
Right. So I'm thinking, like right now I'm in the space of thinking that this mother lost her son, and what we do when, even when we're grieving, even when we're in despair, how to move up that emotional ladder and what giving does in moving and increasing your vibration and what it does neurologically, what it does in internally and into your external space. That is huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, that process.
Just real fast, when you grieve, you can grieve and still be happy, and people forget that. You can grieve, but still be happy. So just wanted to add that.
But yes, beautiful, beautiful. So you know, I think about how
can we actually
how you do that, how you get, how, like, in order to do that, there's some preparation though. There's some determination. It's getting out ahead of your day. It's getting out ahead of this year. You know, that mother knew, okay, each morning she, you know, would wake up. I'm sure her mind would go to, my son is not here. But the determination to have a beautiful day, the determination to live, the determination to...
Can I just take you
what he wanted to do in the world? Huge.
Andrea, right when you were talking about Juice WRLD, I just looked up. I just want to say we're sending you so much love, Carmela Wallace. And in the Rolling Stone magazine, Wallace writes of her son, Jared. This is just 5 days ago in honor of World Mental Health Day. Wallace writes of her son, Jared, Juice WRLD Higgins. I think he felt comfortable being honest with me because I never judged him. I recognize that what Jared was dealing with was a disease, and I know he truly wanted to be free from the demons that tormented him. As a parent, I believed early on and supported Jared having access to counseling. I feel I encourage him to always share his feelings. And so she established a new website, Live Free 999, in the hopes that it'll be a resource to those that are struggling. And my message to parents and children is simple. You don't have to suffer alone. You do not have to be ashamed of your mental health struggles. There is help. There is a way out. And so Andrea was just honoring, you know, Kathleen brought us this news and what people can do when they're suffering. And then Jen said, look at what this woman's saying is, you know, energy exists. The spirit of my son exists. And I'm a mother. And as a collective, we can do better and we can educate and inspire.
Denise, we should have another show.
For teens. Can you speak up, Andrea? Your sound isn't working.
We should have another show for teens discussing like that reward pathway I talked about in the very beginning about giving. That ventral tegmental area is the area involved with addictions as well.
Well, so, and my father, when I was 11 years old, my dad got sober. When I was a child, I would find vodka bottles hidden all around the house. I was worried he was going to die. He went into delirium tremens. So for me personally, as a doctor and as a mother and just everything, this is something that I want to take the shame out of all these discussions. So this is what Ascension Media is all about, and this is what we're all about. This is just, Kathleen brought this incredible news. Andrea's talking, Jen's talking. This is a collaboration. So now we're officially going to do a deep dive on this. And this is what can inspire us. This is mindful ingestion. This is crisis, stabilization, and thrive. And how can we do that?
Teens are in distress. They are incredibly resilient. They're so wise and knowing. You know, I talked to my teens about adolescence being a made-up thing. And so a lot of the issues they're dealing with is because we are still treating them like children. Okay, we're not honoring their wisdom. We're not listening to them.
You know what? I had an emergency with my son this week, and I explained to him, you have your earth age and you have your soul age. So I'm giving it straight up to you because you're highly empathic, intuitive. And if I didn't share what you already know with you, it would really confuse you. And he goes, thank you, Mom. So I treat him, but you have to meet your own child, everyone, where they're at emotionally and developmentally. There's no perfect. Everyone's got their own neuro style. So I agree with you that we've got the earth self and we've got the soul age.
More discussion coming up for sure.
Yep. Yeah. Our children. I love that the headlines, like, I mean, look at what we covered. That's called mindful ingestion, right? We took these headlines that were wonderful too, with, you know, and we pushed it forward. Now we're going to push forward and we're talking about the Vote 2020. And it's kind of the thing that's consuming the media right now and consuming our world, people standing in lines. But we wanted to take a look at the past in order to understand what we're going through right now. So we thought we tasked Dr. Best with that. So what should we talk about?
So it came up actually in our first show on integrity. Jen brought up the topic of the suffragist, and then when she was doing her research, finding some really disturbing things about, Stanton and Susan B. Anthony did not want the 15th Amendment to pass, which gave Black men the right to vote. They were opposed to it, and their racist statements basically showed their heart at that time and their thinking regarding people of color having the right to vote, or people of color, the value that is of people of color. So there was so much done that we don't even know about. It's sad that I didn't even know until I went to college about people like Ida B. Wells or Fannie Lou Hamer or Mary Church Terrell, like African-American female suffragists who had to, that historic march had to walk at the back of that march. Ida B. Wells actually ran up to walk with her delegates, the delegates from her state. She refused to do it. We think about now the things that we do or things that are being done to hold people back. Voter suppression. So what's being done now that is preventing people from being able to walk at the front, to be able to be a force, to be able to vote? So it's not just about looking back at, 15th Amendment, 19th Amendment, and recognizing that the thinking at that time was that African Americans or people of color did not have value and didn't have the right to vote. There are people now who still feel that we shouldn't be voting. There are people now who still want to look at what's happening in Georgia. Did you see the lines in Georgia?
Yes.
Amazing. So people are going to do whatever is possible in order to prevent a fair election. And I know, Kathleen, you're going to talk about some things regarding that as well, but I just wanted to make the point that what was happening then, that heart of not seeing all people valuable and worthy, is the same.
So
we're dealing with the same.
So I want to say that regardless of who wins the election, our nation has a lot of work to do. We have a lot to do with focusing on love. We've got, Andrea and I had a meeting this weekend. We're going to actually introduce a campaign to everyone in the new year. Our team of women and team of men that are going to be joining us, we're going to have new ways of thinking about inclusion and love. So this is a microcosm, and Kathleen's going to talk more about the vote and what's going on right now, but I think we know that we all need to do better. We've seen at this time in history, it's been almost like a mirror, a report card of humanity, of the level of non-tolerance and lack of love at times, but then there's also these heroes that we talked about earlier. So go ahead, Kathleen, did you?
A hero of the whole process is not polling data. I'm a politics major, so I really get into this stuff. And I've thought about this ever since 2016, that the polling data was horrible. It was wrong. It was dead wrong. They did a lot of opinion pollings that back then, and Hillary Clinton with the polls, they had her winning anywhere from like 70-99% chance of winning. So some people look at that polling data and they decide, well, I'm not going to go because my candidate is doing so well, they don't need me, or my candidate is never going to win, even with my one little vote's not going to. What I'm saying is, I don't know why, but polling data is almost getting worse and worse and worse. It's maybe people purposely messing with it and giving the wrong answer, could be, or people who are giving what they think is the right answer and they don't want to really say what they're doing, or maybe they're just, it's none of your business and I'm going to try to, you know, mess this all up. So I think that,
I think it's intentional. I think it's as intentional as the poll taxes, as intentional as Jim Crow law. I think it's intentional.
You mean,
so I'm just going to put it out there.
Trying to mess with polling data?
Yes. No. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it.
So, my point though is like, don't rely on that data. You know, if you care and if you want to give the gift of to the nation of your vote, go give it. Don't rely on, or don't think, oh, look at all the numbers coming in on the East Coast, I don't have to go on the West Coast. This very likely will not be over on election night. Vote if you care.
What I love from last week that Denise said, she said, you already know who you're going to vote for. Don't watch the news anymore. That was profound. She's like, just don't watch it. Just go vote.
You know, and since I wanted to, since I said that I would talk about polling data tonight, actually, because we're taping this on a Thursday, both President Trump and Joe Biden are doing town halls because of this whole COVID, you know, backstory. And so what people are going to do is they're going to be like, well, more people tuned into ABC and Biden, and that's a ratings referendum. No, don't do any of that. Decide, like Denise said, if you want to watch the town hall, watch the town hall, but don't be analyzing the ratings as to who's doing better, because that's a fool's errand. If you care, you go vote. Okay. So next we're going to talk about our guests, Dr. Denise Berger's, her project. So Dr. Denise, can you tell us a little bit about A Leaky One?
Okay, so I think I can do this with such passion. So Dr. Denise Berger, who was just on, she was so passionate about teaching her students in college what corporate social responsibility is that she started this amazing jewelry business called A Leaky Designs. And A Leaky Designs, it's beautiful consciousness jewelry. I'm going to talk about the specific carve out that she and I did, but her intention was to have a company that's an embodiment of what corporate social responsibility looks like. And so with each of her specific jewelry designs, there's a give back component. And right off the top, like she and I designed what's called A Leaky One. And I'm gonna just read a little bit about A Leaky One Designs. Co-created with Dr. Denise and Dr. Denise, comes this one-of-a-kind collection intended to inspire higher consciousness along with mental health and well-being. So each of the designs are creative, metaphoric, substantive, and packed with meaning. So one of them is Sivan that represents Mother of the Universe. Another one's Kartiya that represents families. So it's consciousness jewelry. And the cool thing about it is the corporate social responsibility piece is that 21% of that jewelry line across the top goes to the orphanage in India, that's Lama Tenza's orphanage. And so that money goes directly to helping those girls get educated. And now there's also the call to action to help raise awareness for women's hygiene for this Pink Pad project. Because in India, a lot of women are shamed when it's their time of menses. And so Lama is such a visionary. And so Dr. Denise Berger's A Leaky Designs. And now we have a carve out specific line that goes to Lama Tenzin. So to me, that embodies a real example of what a corporation can do. So, and she just inspires me. Dr. Berger inspires me. And I'm so
grateful. I have one on right now.
And I've got all of mine on. I've got Kartiya, Sivan, Janatiti. Yeah, Jen's got one too, but yeah. But what I want to say something though, what's really important with the altruism piece is that for many people, their awareness can be with a song, a piece of jewelry, writing. So for me, this jewelry, when I put it on, each of them has a meaning and it helps me to have focused intention. And a lot of the people in my practice really appreciate whether it's jewelry or a song. So to me, the jewelry is also very healing. So wearing it, you feel great. And then you know you gave back.
Right.
Well, speaking of altruism, we have waiting in the wings here, our second live guest of the show. She's been waiting patiently. Beverly, I guess, Jen, do you want to introduce our
Yes, Beverly Berger, come on in. She is our Legacy of Love ambassador for Ascension Media. She does, just like you said, Kathleen, embodies altruism. And she is here to talk about it with her.
Well, we're right back to you, as do all of you, really. And first of all, I want to say I'm so proud. I love hearing the words that each of you shared on your assignment from last week. And it was beautiful on integrity. I mean, very, very powerful.
Look at Kathleen. You get the A+.
I like, and right, and bringing it in. Thank you for the show and tell. And speaking of show and tell, I too have on my bracelet.
Yes.
And so, first of all, you know, I so love being in the wings and listening to all that you have. And an hour doesn't do it justice, really. It far exceeds that. And speaking on altruism, it's, you know, the basis of that. And look at your smiles. You know, it's just so joyful because it is the basis of integrity, which was last week. And integrity and love and honesty really is the basis and the foundation of everything. And truly, it just segues right into altruism. Being totally in action. And I like the A in altruism and the A in action. So there is a lovely assignment for this week. And it is because there are the joyful actions that we do all the time. I mean, we are doing them forever because we are mothers. We have that kindness that we share. And that's why this Ascension Show has come to fruition, because it's the love and the mission that was so in the heart of each of you and by our glorious leader, Dr. Denise. And so I welcome also the other Dr. Denise here too. And what a joy being a Pepperdine grad that she's there at Pepperdine. So first of all, I'd just like to share that just one little snippet from the prose is to tell one another by the truth of your actions that altruism is truly one with you always. And it is. It manifests. So your assignment for the week, if you so choose, is to do a little snippet of a kindness gesture, which can be as simple as smiling to someone that you don't know when you're going to the grocery store or maybe the post office, walking on the street, pumping gas, that aspect, as simple as that, but do a little kindness gesture each day. Again, there's no thought in it. And as you do act upon it, you realize you do it all the time anyway, because that's who each of you are. And then be reflective. Altruism has 8 initials, 8 letters in it. Just for 8 minutes each day, think of how you felt in the reaction that you got when you did that simple smile, or maybe opened a door, or said hello. Nice seeing you to someone that you don't know. And there it is.
Oh, love it. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you, Beverly.
Love the 8-minute reflection.
It made me want to look up the angel number 8.
Infinite.
Yes, infinite. Yes.
Oh, that was my eye for integrity.
Kathleen, you smile with your eyes. Do the Tyra Banks. Smile. So even though you have the mask on, you know, smile.
I like that.
My eyes still move.
Well, you know, your eyes show your smile as we are now out and about with our masks on. Right? You can really tell, however, when you acknowledge someone that they are smiling back at you. And that might be something that you might even say in this action bit when you're smiling to someone. I forgot that we had our mask on, but when you're in the grocery store and you just smile to someone, you're doing it eye to eye. You can just very easily say there, "I see your smile." And then you can then see the chuckle,
or you could
within your eye.
Or you could smile while you're having sex. You know.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, that again.
Oh my goodness. We need to
Full circle. Full circle.
Yes.
Let's actually add a sex discussion to next week's show. Because we obviously been talking about orgasms and Jen brought it up. So look at Kathleen's about to faint.
Somebody else.
I'm going to have to get some between now and the show, right?
All right. That's it. Show's over. You can find us all on ascensionmedia.love. Yes, there's the tie. And we're so thrilled that you hung with us today. We hope we put a little light and love into your hearts. Guys.
From altruism to orgasm, we covered it all.
I know.